what's up, YouTube? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here in Nashville, Tennessee at the Exit Inn. Here today with the guys from the Afghan Wigs, talking to my buddy John Skibic. What's up?
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, I know you guys have all kinds of, like, get a little mini concert before the show, and we don't have a ton of time, and you guys have a ton of gear, so we'll try to be a little bit brisk about it, but yeah. John is the only rock star I've ever seen have oral surgery on the NAMM floor. It was a very weird situation, but I'm glad you got that fixed.
Yeah. I was just like, I was doing what the doctor said, or the dentist, is flossing, and you know, an old filling popped out, and my friend fixed it for me.
After a 1 a.m. Uber ride to get the stuff to fix it.
Yeah, I had to take an Uber across town at like 1 a.m. in East Nashville. I think that's where the only CVS is open in Nashville.
Wow, that's funny. Well, I'm glad you got it fixed. You got a new tooth since then, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're good to go. Let's talk guitars. This is, cool. You've been playing a Les Paul on this tour pretty much.
Yeah, I've had this guitar probably about 4 years. And it's just a standard, it's chambered. So feel light it is,
light?
Yeah. Yeah, and the chambered is really cool, great for like long shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, so you're not dying.
We play at a volume though that is pretty excessive. So every once in a while I get into chambered problems, but chambered like
because of
feedback
hum,
things. Just like the low hum. But I figured out ways to actually deal with it, which is kind of cool, and that's what I'll talk about too.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Via pedals?
Yeah, via pedals, yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll get there in a second.
Interesting, yeah. And this is just, it's pretty stock, but I did change out the electronics, and these are Mojo Tone pickups. I think they're called the 59 Clones, and they sent me a harness too. So,
that's cool.
So I think everything is just
Why did you go with the Mojo Tone as opposed to like, you know?
This guitar had the circuit board in it and stuff. It doesn't, it's, you know, everything else is stock. Oh, I did replace the tuners too with just regular ones. I don't really like locking tuners. Hmm. I don't know. I just like looking at the wraps and the winds, and I'm just super traditional. So the locking tuner thing is, I don't know. I just don't really like it that much, and I don't really need it with a guitar like this.
Yeah, no, it's not limited to
no whammy
or
bar,
like
right?
That, yeah.
So, it just had that circuit board in there, which it sounded great. One time I was playing and it just kind of like wasn't there. And I was like, oh, and I fooled around with it and it popped back on. But I got too nervous.
Yeah,
and
that's just like, not a good feeling.
Yeah. And so our tech, Larry, travels with pots and a soldering iron. So if anything happens, it's easy to just kind of do this. So this is like state-of-the-art 50s wiring.
That's cool. Yeah. So would you say those are voiced like, I mean, like a vintage?
Yeah, they're supposed to be like, you know, PAFs. They make a low output set, but this is like the standard PAF.
Very cool.
I think it's called 59 Clones, I think.
I like that burst too. It's real
Yeah, it's super, it, yeah, it's super nice.
Old knobs rule.
Yeah, and there's no pickguard on it either, so.
Love that.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's super solid. It's like a great guitar.
So outside of the Les Paul, you're also rocking this Yamaha Revstar as well, right?
Yeah, it's the kind of the top of the line model, like made in Japan, and it's got some weight to it. It's super solid. It's been, you know, reliable and stuff.
It is a little heavier than I expected.
I
didn't see that coming. I love the belly scoop. That is so rad, if you guys can see that.
Yeah.
It's a really deep scoop. That must be comfortable.
It's a really comfortable guitar, and it's got that kind of cool matte finish. Yeah. And this is,
It looks fast.
Yeah.
It looks like,
you know, it's supposed to be inspired by motorcycles and stuff, like Japanese motorcycles, and it's kind of got that vibe. And they do this with steel wool, which is really neat.
Yeah.
It's actually a gloss guitar, and they rough it up a little bit.
Yeah,
and then they put a copper. This is copper.
So this will probably turn like green and kind of patina after a while.
Yeah, I'm hoping it does, you know.
Man, that's seriously cool. And then you changed the pickups out, right?
Actually, I got it, and they put in Lollers for me.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Yeah. Imperials?
Yeah.
Awesome.
The standard Imperials.
Very, very cool. How often are you changing? Are these same tuning and everything?
Yeah. Pretty much stick to this one, just because it's got the toggle switch. I do some stuff with, like, rolling off one pickup and doing stuff like for level changes, especially in a song called Faded. It's like I go directly to a lower volume, and I also have to hit some pedals. So it's like this, it's, you know, it's almost like I try to duplicate stuff that's on the record, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like I try to mix myself sort of like how the record is mixed as well. You know, like, you know, I use like a ton of boost for solos and stuff. So our front of house guy, you know, we mix ourselves so well that he probably can just stand back and,
hey, he's got a good gig.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
Cool. And you guys are pretty much all playing Mesa, right?
Yeah. These are all, it's an all Mesa backline, and they're custom covered in white.
These are baller.
Yeah, and the grills are
so
like
cool.
Our new record called In Spades.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
That one's called a Royal Atlantic.
100 watts.
100 watts, yeah. I have it set to EL34s.
Oh, is it switchable?
Yeah, you can kind of just put 6L6s in it or EL34s, and the EL34s work out well for me. And
sure.
Interesting, I do the Jeff Beck trick. If you look, the bass is all the way off and the mids are all the way on. And then
all
the treble
the way up,
is,
huh?
Yeah. So the mids are like, 10 or whatever.
I'm not familiar with that trick. What does that do? Does that somehow change the...
Well, 412 has so much bass coming out of it anyway.
Sure.
And I'm right next to John Curley. There's so much bass, so it's like I want to be able to cut through. All that bass would just kind of muddy up the low end anyway, so I just kind of figure out where I can fit sonically. So, if you play, it has plenty of low end.
That's more low end than you would ever need for a show. That's wild.
Yeah, and the mids give it kind of like a push.
Like a nice little punch in the...
Yeah.
So. Right on, man. Well, do you think the EL34s give it more of a British-y kind of sound, or are you going for that?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Cool. With the closed 412. Tone. Everyone else has open back, so it's a 12. That's a closed back.
Maybe that has something to do with the bass response of the cab.
I think so.
Probably. Well, cool, man. Let's get into pedal world.
All right.
All right, John. We got fun stuff over here. You got quite a few cool pedals. Walk me through your signal chain first, and then we'll kind of dive into it.
Okay, yeah. So I'm using two boards linked together. Because I could put them around the mic stand.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so the guitar goes into this first pedal. It's called the Red Sun Effects, the White Fuzz.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's...
That looks trippy.
Yeah, it's pretty... It's pretty psychedelic. And it has that thing where you can...
It'll clean up when we go back.
So it has that sag thing that I really like.
Yeah, that sounds like an amp blowing up.
Yeah, and I use that for a song. So, basically, I'll show you my signal flow first. So
okay.
Instead of going through each one. So it goes that, and then it goes into this slide rig compressor. By Origin Effects. It goes into a wah. This is a custom audio electronics one. And right now I'm trying the Keeley Super Fat Mod.
Ooh.
Yep. And then from there I go into this Leela, I think I'm saying it right, the D Looper. And what that does is it puts these two effects in a loop.
So you turn them on at once with
I turn them on at once. I was having a hard time. This is a double tap to get off. And
and
a tremolo. So I use a combo. So I'll play that combo really while we're on it. So it's kind of a cool thing.
So for Arabian, for the song on the new record,
Arabian Heights?
Yeah, is that the chop effect that's in there?
No, that was actually done like post-production.
Oh, no kidding, really?
But no, I use it for a song called Royal Cream, which is on our last record. And I kind of like fade in.
Let it swell in. That's rad.
Yeah,
that's so rad.
Yeah, and it kind of glides. And so I also... just can get them off.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of dancing if you
it was
have
too
that.
Much dancing, and if I forgot to get it off, it was like a disaster.
Cool.
So,
and just so people know, that was the Empress Tremolo, and then the Super Ego.
Yeah, the Electro-Harmonic Super Ego, and the Empress Tremolo 2.
Very, very cool way to get around that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I do that, and then it routes back to the volume pedal. So that it's interesting, because I have a gain before my volume pedal, and two gains after my volume.
Why is that?
Well, I can get kind of like almost cello effects, maybe, you know?
Sure. Yeah, it sounds like strings, yeah.
Yeah, almost, you know? And then also I do a lot of compressor things. So I get this, you know, certain parts of the show I put delays on and like choruses and
that rolls.
And for some reason this thing sustains like forever. Like I can't believe sometimes I'm just sitting there, I'm like, it's still going. It's almost like a keyboard pad or something.
Sure.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I do all that stuff. Then I have an interesting way of doing my talk box. So this is an MXR talk box. And basically it mutes your signal if you go into it. It's designed to go in the chain. Kind of mute your signal, so I figured out, how can I do this?
Without a killing your tone?
Or without modding it. And I just figured I'd put it to the tuner out. So when I go to turn it on, it just turns on and it's just a dead end. And then I'm gonna have that, you know?
Rad.
Yeah, so we use that for a song.
That's a cool rock star trick,
man. Yeah, the only thing
man.
I can't do is I can't tune while I'm playing the talk box, but
right.
That would be, you know.
That would be weird anyway.
That'd be really
That'd be pretty weird anyway.
Yeah. And then the other thing, I go into a pitchfork.
Super fun little pedal.
Yeah, and I use it for, you know, 12 string. I also sometimes put it on thirds and get the L. So I do kind of like a major third interval, and then I set the, I have one of those expression pedals, the dual expression pedal. And so there's a minor.
So you can bend in between. Interesting. Almost like if you had a bender or something in your guitar.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so I use that for a song and use this. The trickiest thing is I have to remember, because I use this for octave up, I use it for octave down, and sometimes...
So you have to reach down and manually
Yeah,
do
sometimes
it.
It's like right before that part, and I'm like,
oh shit.
And actually, I do a lot of that, because all my pedals kind of have like dual purpose.
Sure.
You know, like I have this Mr. Black Eterna.
It's a reverb?
Yeah. But it's got a shimmer mode that we used on the record, so it kind of just works. So for another song, I just kind of turn the shimmer down, turn the mix down, and get this kind of...
Oh, that's beautiful.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And so I just bought the Skyfi myself, which I'm a really big fan of that pedal, but it also does that shimmer thing. So I'm curious why you have an Eterna and a Skyfi. Are they for totally different songs? Just different vibe altogether?
Yeah. The shimmer modes are all really different.
They are, yeah.
You know, I've got like... I use shimmer... Like, I was in the Twilight Singers with mm-hmm. Greg Dooley. And
great band. If you guys... I'm sure if you're watching this, you've heard the Twilight Singers as well, but you should definitely get into that.
Yeah, and I remember I was doing stuff for, I was working for Line 6 at the time, and they came out with this thing called the Verbzilla, and it had this thing, I had a prototype, and it was called like, it was like a weird one. So I have this really early tone core, and I brought it to the studio, and I was like, this is going to be perfect for Greg's music, you know, and I used it all over this album called Powder Burns. So that was about like 2005 or so. So I've been doing a lot of shimmer, but yeah, like this has a shimmer. It's just different.
Yeah, the Canyon has a cool shimmer too. Yeah,
the Canyon. Yeah, it's great, and they all have different shimmers, but this one just fits
that particular.
Yeah, that song.
Thing.
You know,
that's awesome.
So it just kind of works really well with it, and you know, it was used on the record, so you know, might as well use it. But the Skyfi, I use it for something else. The Skyfi by Alexander. Mm-hmm. So I have it kind of for a...
Like a slapbacky kind of?
Slapback kind of Beatles-y thing. But I also can do... let me turn up a little bit. I can also do these...
Yeah, the whole...
If it gets too much, I can just kind of just toggle it
off.
Take it off,
you know? Yeah.
So I just use it sparingly, you know.
And it'll just keep swelling, right?
Yeah.
I actually bought that pedal for that reason. I love that momentary switch. That's so cool.
And then a lot of times I'll like at the end of a show, I'll set it to like, you know, just to
way up
to,
there. Huh?
Yeah, to annoy our guitar tech Larry, and I'll you know. And I'll just walk off stage and I'll just keep on going.
Just let it go.
Yeah,
that's
and he's
awesome.
Got to turn the amp off. So it's kind of fun. But let's see. So the signal goes, kind of scrolls around there. Also use this Keeley Dynamite Roto. Yeah. And
it's like rotary modulation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm using it because it has a boost in it. It's got this level control. So I can just kind of get some cool overdrive. So it really works well. Instead of, I was using another great pedal, the Chesapeake by Alexander, mm-hmm. and that sounds amazing. This was just easier for me just to hit one pedal.
Gotcha,
so that's, you know, they're both great. Then the Particle, Red Panda. I used this, I actually took a picture of it when we recorded this one song, and I took a picture of it.
So you know the settings?
Yeah, so every day I go to my phone and I just kind of
look back through it.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of, I know there's a better way to do it, but.
Yeah, put a little piece of tape or something.
Yeah, I guess I should.
Are you changing the settings during the show?
No, that one just stays.
That stays put?
Yeah.
But sure, it gets bumped around in travel and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
What's this sidecar?
Oh, that's by Hudson Electronics UK. Yeah, and I'm running at 24 volts, so it's just a...
Well,
super, super boost.
Wake your amp up. That's rad.
Yeah, and it's got treble and bass, so, you know, I can, depending on the room, I can kind of...
You kind of tweak it, sure.
Yeah, like if I need a little more muscle.
It's a killer tone.
And it actually sounds really good with both of them, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, so that's...
That'll rip your head off drive there.
Yeah, I know. I think my ears are already ringing right now. But anyway, yeah. And then I have this T-Rex Molar, which is kind of an older pedal. But it really works well for some songs. And then I have the optional boost for a clean boost.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
All in one pedal. That's handy. It looks like you got that thing pegged all the way.
Which one?
Gain, mix, and boost all the way cranked on that bad boy.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
Sometimes when you have like three guitars, you're just fighting to be heard.
Sure, yeah. And if you guys are playing this loud on stage all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And then I've got the Canyon.
Very cool electro harmonics pedal.
Yep. And I mainly use it on the tape setting. Sometimes I'll put it on the Deluxe Memory Man setting too.
It's got like 12 different delay options, right?
Yeah, yeah. You can watch my NAMM video.
Yeah, watch your demo. Might have shot that, I don't even remember.
Yeah, and yeah, I think that's it.
I think that pretty much covers it, man.
Yeah, I just try to cover as much thing,
I love that you get so much total variety out of, like, it's not, this isn't like some crazy motherboard, you know, like that you could fly into outer space with, but it gets it done.
Yeah, and...
What are you powering all this with?
Two pedal powers. Twos. Yeah, this one I have an older board, so I've got to like kind of modify it so I can put that underneath
and, sure,
and add more pedals.
Yeah, of course.
Because I need more pedals.
Plus, those things give you the option for like multiple wattages and stuff, voltages, right? Like
yeah,
9 and 18.
I think so. When we go to Europe, we just travel. We have step down transformers.
I was going to say, what do you guys take, like a power conditioner of some sort? That
yeah, we just rent them when we're over there.
All right, Mr. Skibik, before I let you go, I couldn't help but notice, but you got a bunch of different kinds of slides around here. You've got a glass slide, a brass slide, you've got a steel slide.
Yeah, so I use them all for different songs. So this
crazy
is the first one I start with, usually in the top of the set. I have to play this lick that's like kind of this Middle Eastern lick. And I realized that when I used a regular slide, it would just fall off, and it's a wide stretch.
And it's hitting other strings.
Yeah,
and shit
so
too,
I found these things that have the. I forget what
this is a brilliant design. If you guys can see this, it's.
Then they're called Rock Slide.
Totally got a little angle on there. That's awesome. So you can still bend your knuckle.
Yeah, it just basically the ball like this, my ET part of my finger, just keeps it on.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, and then I have this little stand that Larry got me, and then I use this a brass one for like. It's just really metallic.
It's more of a gritty really, kind of.
Yeah, and it
crunchy.
Cuts. And I use it for certain songs. I mean, it's bizarre that no one hears it except for me. And then I use a big walled,
big
heavy
old
walled,
thick glass one.
Yeah, and this is when I want to play like kind of prettier,
like
smoother,
lap steely slide. Kind of.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Pretty.
This is I like these a lot. These are just cool. Dunlop ones.
And then what about picks and strings?
Funny you should ask. This is a Herco Holy Grail, which I love. And
is it grooved?
It's just like the Flex 75s, like those Herco ones.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, and I used to use the gray ones, but this one just it's a little bit harder. So I find I've probably gone through 7 picks in like 3 months, you know, or longer. Because I like the way they wear out. So you can get like one sound by going straight on, or you can get
kind of scraping the side.
Yeah, sound.
Almost
and
like a...
It sounds really aggressive.
Does it give you like a harmonic-y kind of, like a pinch harmonic kind of sound?
No, you can do that easily, but no, it just gives a real aggressive sound, but you can play really light.
Aha.
And so it's really good when there's certain parts where we're playing kind of down, but I want it to still sound aggressive.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. I'm excited to get with everybody else, and we're going to go talk to the other John now, John Curley. Thank you so much. We're now 2 inches this way over here talking to John Curley now. John plays bass, and he's got a really, really sweet Rickenbacker I'm excited to hear about. Tell me all about this bad boy.
So I got this in New York City at Rivington Guitars. John Skibick actually was in there. He knew I was looking for a white one and sent me a picture of it. And I got myself over there and wound up buying it.
Do you remember what you gave for it?
I do remember. It was, at that time, it was the most money I'd ever
spent on
a
guitar. Oh my God. I mean, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been super happy with it. It's a really great playing instrument. It sounds really good. One thing that I've had a lot of Ricks in my life. I've had every color that they make, and you know, different years spanning from the late 70s probably up until like, you know, modern ones. I've played the modern ones too. And weirdly, the ones that they're making now are very similar to these late 70s, early 80s models. But the kind of 78, 79, 80, 81, those are the years that I like the best. The necks are right for my hands. Some of them get kind of thick in the back.
Like too much of a Louisville Slugger feel
to
it.
Totally. Yeah, totally. These are pretty thin, and they play really well.
Man, two things I immediately notice about this bass is, one, the body is pancake thin. It looks really super thin. And also the break angle on the neck isn't very severe. It's almost like a pretty straight shot.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they make them all by hand. They only make as many a year as they can make. And as a result, you know, they're all
quality.
Slightly different. They're almost all, you know, high quality, but you can really find some variation that suits
that's
a particular style.
Are these pickups some that came in it?
Yeah, these are the ones that came in it. The modifications that I've made are to the knobs. I found these knobs at a music store in Norway, and I thought they looked pretty cool, so I put them on there.
I love the jewels. It's so subtle. You can barely notice it, but I bet one guy in the audience tonight will get a gleam of that one tiny little jewel in the eye. That's cool.
And then I've got a hip shot drop D tuner.
Oh, that's cool. Just for quick.
We have several songs that where the bass is drop D, and our set moves pretty quickly. And often there's not enough time to retune in between songs. You just got to be ready to go. So.
Click it on, click it off. That's pretty handy.
It's great.
And then this is your number one, I'm guessing, and then you got this jazz bass for just a backup?
Right. This is a recent addition. I got this at a music store where I live in Cincinnati. It's a 78 jazz.
It's beautiful. This thing looks like it sat in the window of a store for a little while.
Yeah, totally.
This is great.
I had a 2014 proto custom shop bass that was like a early, you know, a lot of people call them tele basses, but they're actually like the first edition Fender P bass, but they have like the Telecaster headstock. And beautiful instrument with a TV Jones pickup in it. And I brought it down to New Orleans to play on some shows some benefit shows that we did for our late guitarist, Dave Rosser. And it really didn't work with the wigs. It wasn't a great bass
for that. Wasn't for that thing?
Yeah, it sounded cool in the studio and stuff. It was really fun to play at home, but it didn't work. So I pestered the local guy, and eventually got him to agree to a trade, so.
That's cool. Yeah. Did you put this badass bridge on it? Is that what it is?
No, it came that way.
It came that way?
Yeah.
It looks like it's had a... some slight modifications.
It has the when it came with the cover for the bridge and the thumb rest thing, which I took off because I play with a pick a lot, and both of those things got in my way. I'll play up and down.
Yeah, I was gonna say that would limit you on where you can kind of.
You know, I'll pick back on some songs and forward on some songs, and even change it up, you know, during the song as well.
This is great. The checking is beautiful on this thing. You can barely see it. It's so fine, but
it really caught my eye the first time I saw it. So I wore the guy down eventually.
And then did you throw the the drop on there too?
I put the drop D on there too. I have to have that on anything that I'm using.
Man, those are two pretty killer guitars to work with right out of the gate. And then you're playing Mesa as well.
Playing the Mesa Big Block 750.
Oh baby.
This is the best bass amp I have ever owned in my life.
Really?
It just sounds amazing. Thick, fat, loud, just the right amount of gritty, incredibly reliable, very well built. You know, stuff really gets abused on tour, and you bouncing around in the trailer, getting loaded in and loaded out. You know, even under the best of circumstances with people taking care of it, it's going to get abused. And you find out pretty quickly what equipment is worthy.
What's going to stay with you and what's not.
This thing has been a rock for me.
It's interesting how deep the actual cabinet of the head is. It's really, really deep back there.
Yeah, if you take it apart, it's got a giant, like, circular transformer in it.
Oh, weird, really?
It's got a tube front end and a solid state back end. It's kind of the best of both worlds.
Sure, so you get all the wattage. And, you got 750 watts to play with,
I just love it. And then the cabinet is, I forget the actual name of the cabinet.
Is it TENS?
It's got four TENS on the corners, and it's got a 15 in the center.
Oh, nice. Kind of well-rounded.
Yeah, it's great. I find that the four TEN single 15 is really good.
And it's cool that it's not two separate cabs that you have to lug around either. That seems manageable. It's not like a huge...
No,
you
it's
know,
got wheels
A10.
On the back. You can roll it. It's pretty small. I had a two Ampeg cabinets for a while, a single 15 and a 410. And the way they were divided up, you could just never, it always just felt like two separate things. And this one, all the sound comes out together, and you get the best of
when
all.
When
of
you're
it.
Micing it, are you micing the 10?
Yeah, Steve likes to mic the 10. It gets a tighter sound. He also takes a DI, and then he blends them together. So. I've got the Mesa Subway DI, which has a gain circuit and then a five band tone control and a voicing control.
So
and then a
couple do you do most of your shaping with that then?
I do kind of. The one downside of the 4001 is that it sounds really pointy with the direct.
Super
so you
got to
roll off a lot of top end, or it just gets
hurts.
Really nasty.
Yeah.
It's not a good sound. So I've got the tone, the treble rolled all the way off, the high mids rolled mostly off. I usually check it in the monitors, just dry through the DI and
start
get a
there.
Sound that
sure.
sounds pretty good. And then the whole rest of the pedal board comes after that. So Steve gets a clean DI from the Subway and then mixes it with the amp, which has all the grid and other stuff on it.
Very cool. And you've got some fun stuff on here for bass.
Yeah.
The Pog is obviously super fun. What kind of songs are you using that on?
So the Pog mainly I use on a song called Matamoros that recorded with a bass synth.
Oh, okay.
So I'm trying to recreate that sound. And then I've found a couple other places where I can use it as well. There's another song we have called... Toy Automatic.
Ah, that's on the new record, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they call it dope, kids. So on Toy Automatic, there's on the record, there's about halfway through the song, there's a place where it crescendos and the horns kick in. And occasionally we've had horn players come up and play with us, but usually I'm kicking on a light, low octave there just to sort of push the whole thing forward, without, necessarily being an obvious thing. So those are kind of two tricks that I use, the octave below. The cool thing about the Pog is that you can dial it in, so it's you can bring in just a little bit of octave.
Certain
and mix
frequencies
it with the dry,
too, right? Yeah.
And I've got a few presets saved. Another thing that I use is this Union tube and transistor sub-buzz pedal, which is
sub-buzz
great.
Sub-buzz?
Yeah, it's called a sub-buzz. And it's just got two controls. It's got a dirty and a dry, and you can blend them together. This would be all dirt, and then this would be, completely dry.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like when it's a single knob that lets you blend, a lot of times you lose
something.
Some tone with
sure.
that.
Yeah.
And this lets me sculpt
If it's one knob, you're having to compensate in frequency on one side of
the
other.
Yeah. So this lets you blend it together, and it also lets you push it a little bit too. You can break the rules a little bit and get a fatter, angrier sound.
For the real rocking ass parts.
Yeah, without necessarily being louder. A big part of the tones that I'm trying to work with are sounding louder without necessarily being louder.
Sure.
Or without being, sounding more loud than I actually am. Because with bass, it's like, once you get it dialed in for the room and for the stage, you don't want to mess with it too much. Because it can really unbalance the entire mix.
The whole thing, yeah.
But having tricks where you can make it sound louder without actually being louder, that's really helpful to me. and to the dynamic and stuff. So I used the Pog for a couple songs, mostly on that song Matamoros. The sub buzz I used to get a little bit of dirt. The Mesa also has a dirty channel, but I kind of let this you has a little
like
more
that?
Control. Yeah.
Do you throw that on for like City Soleil? I don't know if you guys are playing anything from 65 in this set, but that is my record. I love it. It's so good.
We're not actually playing that song. We have played it in the past. Mm-hmm. And
it's got such a rocking ass chorus. That's Something Hot. Okay.
Yeah, I would definitely use that on Something Hot because that's pretty, you know, heavy rock.
Sure.
The other main parts of my sound are these two Keeley compressor pedals. One is the Pro Compressor, and then the other is the Bassist Limiter. The limiter I use last in the chain, and it's set very conservatively just to kind of...
keep you in check.
Yeah, like I was talking about the Rick, and when you really dig into it, it gets kind of clippy sounding, and that helps keep that under control. The amp, the tubes in the amp do the rest of the job for that. And then the compressor I use just to, again, to kind of get the tone to sound a little more aggressive without actually being louder.
Is that something that you leave on pretty much all the time?
I do leave it on a lot of the time, and I'll adjust it. There's a lot of songs where I just leave it on because it sounds good. And then a few songs, there's one song we do called Can Rova that's pretty quiet, and I want to get long sustaining notes, mm-hmm. so I'll adjust it slightly on that. But typically my my settings are long, late attack, long release, just a little bit of makeup gain, and a pretty low compressor ratio of maybe like 3-1.
Oh, interesting.
And then definitely not taking off more than a couple or 3 dB at any time.
Sure, you don't want to lose too much hair off the top, yeah.
And the one thing I really like about this is it behaves like a studio compressor. A lot of pedal compressors I find are just way too aggressive, and they probably sound cool if you're playing like country licks on guitar, but they don't work very well for the bass. And this Keeley one is hands down the best
it's
one.
It's got some knobs on it, and looks like you got a lot of control there, and a couple of switches.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that's great. And then I've never seen this pedal here. What is this bad boy?
That's a Wampler, some kind of bass distortion pedal. I got it in Norway at this music store, and I'm sure I got killed in the exchange rate. You don't want to buy stuff in Norway.
No, I made that mistake once. When I got home and checked my credit card statement, I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
And I'm sitting here looking at it, designed and built in the United States of America. So, don't follow my lead on financial.
Why did you buy it on a whim, or you just wanted something for some grit?
Yeah, I was at the guitar store with John, and he's a bad influence in that regard. I mean, look, the guy's got two pedal boards.
I know,
man. You go to the guitar store with him, you're going to buy a pedal. But actually, this thing's really good. I tried a couple fuzz pedals. We have a song called Copernicus on the new record that I use it for. We have a song off Due to the Beast called Parked Outside that I use it for. And again, bass is really hard. You can find a distortion pedal that sounds good 90% of the time, and then you get into a particular room, and it's just like you step on it and the sound disappears. And this thing is great. It's got three bands of tone controls. It's got a blend control, which I love.
That's nice, yeah.
And volume and gain. So a lot of control on that. And I haven't met a room yet that I haven't been able to make it work in.
Well, this big blue one over here, it's got a lot of tape on it, so I can't really tell what it is. Is this a looper or
this
a modulation?
A Digitech Jamman looper.
Oh, Jamman, cool.
We have a few songs that have loops, and this really has nothing to do with bass. It's the bane of my existence. I live in fear of it.
Is this the guy that was sending the click to the PA last night on you guys?
It's got a mind of its own.
Are you just triggering some loops with it? It's all pre-programmed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're loaded, and it's actually, in all seriousness, a very, very reliable pedal. We've used it, since 2012, really well built, really good, but something about computer stuff on stage just
gets scary.
Kind of old school in that regard.
I feel you.
I like to see a wire and know where the wire's going, and
less troubleshooting if something goes down.
I mean, I have a studio and I run Pro Tools and stuff, so it's. But on stage, it's like there's really no room for mistakes, and computers just are too prone to mistakes.
Yeah, it can get a little dodgy.
I try not to think about that when I'm on airplanes, but.
Yeah, don't dwell on that too much.
So I can run you through some of the sounds.
Yeah, let's hear a couple of those.
The Polytune is my tuner. This is a relatively new addition. I used to use the Boss, but I love the Polytune because you can just go like that and see immediately if you're in tune or not.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And it's pretty bright. I love that you can see it.
Yeah, you can see it in the sunshine too, which is awesome. So, another thing about the 4001, the single coil pickups sound great, but they can be very temperamental.
Get a little hairy sometimes.
Which is why I carry the Jazz, because
for the quiet songs,
there are some rooms where the electricity is just too brutal, and I'll play the Jazz instead.
Even though that has single coils, it doesn't hum as much.
It's wired differently. Here, check it out. I'll demonstrate exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know what Fender does, what their trick is to make it work.
It's well balanced.
Yeah, I love that thing. It's probably my favorite bass that I've ever owned. So, same thing.
Yeah, that's
way cleaner. But
the hum is negligible compared to the Rick, for sure.
The Rick really works well in the Afghan Wigs because we have three guitar players, and like John was saying before, that the low end can get really muddy really quickly, and the Rick is a very aggressive mid-rangey bass sound. I really love like the Chris Squire bass sound, and you know, tight and punchy, you know. Some low end for sure, but I love that, you know, forward mid-rangey piano wire sound that he gets, and that's probably what attracted me to these things in the first place. And they look super cool too.
They do look cool.
But yeah, it's noisy. Once everybody gets going, though, you can't hear it. I usually set the tone controls. This is everything all the way up. And you can hear that clicky sound.
Yeah, it gets a little clackety.
If you really start digging into it, which I have a tendency to do. So, I usually bring the neck pickup back just a little bit to kind of tighten
just
up the sound a bit more. I roll off a little bit of the neck pickup high end and roll off most of the bridge pickup high end. So it's still, you retain
definitely
a lot
that
of the tone,
mid-range
but
punch for
you
sure.
Have to, and then further do it more on the subway for the house and the monitors.
Whew. Shake me off the stage. That's
yeah. Well, that's the idea.
That's a powerful amp.
So the Pog is kind of this sound.
It's subtle, but I hear it for sure.
I've got a few different presets. And then with the compressor, this is the settings from the end of the show.
Oh, from yesterday's show?
Yeah.
So you
they
all night
kind
of edged up on you, huh?
I think the stage was off balance and the knobs were turning on their own. So, you know, the compressor, I try to set it so it's not too aggressive. I want to feel it more than hear it.
Sure.
The sub buzz does.
That just gives it a little hear. I expected that to be a little growlier, but yeah, that's.
I mean, you can really get it going if you want to.
Yeah, that's going.
I sort of
use
the compressor and the limiter as smoothing functions for all the rest of the pedals.
Sure, sure. It kind of evens it out a little
bit.
Right? Yeah,
yeah. And then the on this one, you can see this is part of why it's noisy. They do get kind of mixed up as they roll around in the case. You can see it starting to grab it a little bit.
Yeah.
So So that's like the safety valve.
That's also nice that it has a visual indicator that you can see how much it's grabbing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're really well-designed pedals, and they sound good. And then this is the Wampler, which...
For the heavier fuzz stuff, more rock and stuff.
And probably, you know, I'd have to adjust that to make it more... No, that's about right.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Well, damn, Mr. Curley, I appreciate this. I'm really, really looking forward to the show tonight.
Thank you.
I'm very excited. And thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And we're going to move on from here. See you guys in a second. Okay, now we're on the far side of the stage with Rick Nelson, not Rick Nielsen.
Correct.
Who, you play guitar in this band, but you also play, is this a cello?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Cello, violin, all kinds of stuff. And you're
running
your strings through your pedal board as well.
Correct, as well as the guitar.
That's so rad.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with this.
Okay.
Because I know this is kind of a, this guitar's got a great story.
Yeah, so this is a Joe Parker that our previous guitar player played. He passed away June 27th of this year. Before he passed, he was gracious enough to teach me all of his parts. So it was
how
amazing.
Cool.
So like I get to carry on his tradition. So he gave me this guitar as well as 18 others.
Wow.
All of his pedals and all of his amps.
What a sweetheart.
We have his hat on my amp every single night.
I love that.
So it's great. So I get to be here to continue the legacy, and it's an honor to be able to do so.
It's big shoes to fill, man.
It is. Nobody can do what that guy does.
Wow, that's crazy. Well,
for sure.
Let's talk details on this, because it's beautiful.
Okay. Yes.
The checking is insane.
The checking is insane, and that basically happened over one winter tour that we did in Europe.
It was in the trailer, and...
It was, exactly.
Pulled it out, like, freaking out, huh?
Yeah, so it started off with, it was just, like, you know, this beautiful, solid gold finish, and it was just in a trailer, and it was, you know, freezing cold temperatures traveling across Europe, and it started with, like, one or two little things, and Dave got really bummed out, because he's like, oh, shit, I've got, like, a couple of, like... nicks on this thing now, and you know, he didn't like it. And then as the tour progressed, the entire thing checked. And he was like, by the end of the tour, he was like, man, this looks amazing.
It's
this looks
rad.
Great.
I'd take the checks any day.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
So cool.
It looks
you
so
can tell
cool.
The nitro on that is just paper thin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, and then mini buckers.
Yes, exactly. Two of those. I think he put these in before he passed. And he has got there was another Joe Parker as well that I have that is a Sunburst version of this same thing,
same
Spectre.
Thing.
But it has noiseless P90s from Mojotone in it. And it's great. They sound like P90s, but they're just silence.
No, that's bad.
So we would be touring, like on the last tour in Europe, there was a lot of clubs where the power was just all wonky, and we'd plug in the guitar and it'd just be all noise. And it sucked because I was like, well, I really wanted to use this guitar. So instead, we went ahead and had one of our techs put the noiseless P90s from Mojotone in it, and it sounded great.
Sounds great.
Sounded just like a P90s, but silent. No,
I've never owned a guitar with mini buckers. Is it just like a lower output, like on PAF's kind of sound?
A little bit, yeah, exactly. But they're nice and warm. You can get a lot of different variety of sound out of them, you know, of course, but just switching back and forth between the neck and the bridge pickups. But yeah, they're just great sounding pickups all around. Not too noisy. Just really clean.
The headstock looks crazy.
Headstock
is
super
weird
cool.
That there's two pegs here and four up there.
Exactly.
It's almost alarming to look at. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, I did, you know, I played Gibsons for a while, so it was kind of like hard to get used to, like, where's the G? Oh yeah, it's over here. So I had to kind of get used to the routing of all that stuff.
Very cool.
But it's a really cool guitar.
So you're playing this pretty much throughout the set while you're on guitar.
Yes, exactly. Pretty much exclusively throughout the set. And then if I as a backup, I've got the Revstar, the Yamaha, very similar to John's.
Sure.
Except this one's got the Fishman.
Pinstripe.
Yeah, the Power Bridge acoustic pickup in it.
Oh, cool.
No pinstripe. Yeah. Really neck heavy on it. So when you put it on,
it's
the neck
like
loves to
SG
fall.
SG or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But these sound great too. You know, it's nice to be able to flip back and forth.
Is this one chambered by chance?
I don't think it is.
Because that one is way heavier.
It is
this
way
is
heavier.
Like,
it's like they took all the weight and they put it in the neck.
Lighter.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. Oh, and very I love true. That the neck has kind of got like a smooth satin kind
they
of
they asked me, because they custom built that
it's
for
real
me.
Real cool.
And, you know, they asked if they wanted it, you know, glossy or just flat. And I was like, you know, I like the flat. You know, from being a string player for so many years,
you're
I really
the
like the natural,
satin kind
you know,
of feel.
Satin feel yeah. for sure.
Oh, yeah. I got it. I almost promise this is chambered. It's so light.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
At least there.
Yeah. And then are these stock?
I think they are stock, yeah. That's cool. What came from the company. From the
same deal, though. It looks fast.
Yeah.
It looks
it's
like
a beautiful guitar. It's almost like a Brian May kind of thing.
My first guitar ever was, motorcycle ever was a Honda 360.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of has this, it almost reminds me of that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. CB360T. I love that thing.
Nice.
anyway, You're also playing the Lone Star.
Also through the Lone Star, exactly. So that thing's great. You can just get lots of different sounds out of it. You know, it's, you know, I'm running on 100 watts, so it gets really loud. So when you're competing with all these other people.
Are you going 100 watts for the headroom or for the loudness?
For the loudness.
Yeah, yeah, just to keep up with all this.
Kind of have
shit.
To.
Yeah,
it's just, totally. It's really crushingly loud on stage.
And then it's just a backup?
That's just a backup, but we display it, and you know, occasionally we'll have, like, depending on the tour we're doing, if we have another guitar player in one of the opening bands, oftentimes they'll play a couple songs with us through
Let's
there.
Kick ass.
Which is That's great. Awesome. Like, Denver Daly is playing with Harmar.
Denver's great. He's
so,
awesome.
Yeah. So he comes and he plays on that on a couple tunes sometimes. So.
Very cool.
Yeah,
man,
great.
What a lucky dude. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. So these two guitars, we got a cello, which I'm not even going to pretend to know anything about.
Cool.
I totally get it. Violin was my first instrument. I still don't know a ton about it. I did, however, hear you in soundcheck running those through your effects, which I thought was cool as shit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That leads us right into effects.
Sure.
This isn't a terribly complicated board, but you got some fun stuff on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Walk me through the chain.
Okay, great. So basically, the chain starts right here with this radial AB switcher. And what that basically allows me
to
do...
That is an AB switcher?
Believe it or not, it is a super mega...
I was going to say, it looks like an Apple computer or
yeah,
something.
Exactly.
Like that thing is...
It's super insane. You know, the great thing about it is you can dial in the structure, the gain structure between channel 1 and channel 2. Channel 1 is violin, channel 2 is the cello.
Oh, that makes sense.
And
okay.
You can dial in the EQ, notch out certain frequencies that tend to feedback because they're obviously hollow instruments.
Sure.
Those both go into this MXR EQ pedal. Honestly, the only thing I've got on there right now is a little bit of 62 and 125 and like maybe a bump at like 2K.
No, is that always on?
That's always on because if it's not, they will just feedback like crazy.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly. So that then goes to a separate AB box, which is right here. This is where the guitar goes in here. So
okay.
Channel A is the strings, channel B is the guitar.
Oh, that's simple.
And then from there, everything goes out.
Gotcha.
So from that point, it jumps underneath the board to this EB booster. You know, a lot of times, just kind of like boost it up a little bit, because a lot of times I play the role of a lot of times being the clean guitar when everybody else is distorted. I'll be the loud, clean guitar. So that allows me to kind of like break up the amp just a little bit, but not distorted.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of people have those EP boosters. Now it's a very, very common thing.
Yeah.
But I see why, man. It's tiny, not a lot of real estate, but also it gives you it doesn't change the tone. It just kind of
doesn't.
It just totally lifts you up a little bit. Yeah.
It's great. Then that runs into the Sloika.
Sloika.
And then the Sloika is just a great just distortion pedal all around
Moleko
by
pedal.
Molecos. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So like that's great for just an overall great distortion sound. That I run that into the way huge Green Rhino. This thing's great because it's got this like high pass filter on it. You can get it to sound like everything from like an AM radio
a telephone
to just of, like yeah. Lemmy's bass tone or whatever. I mean it's just super big and fat.
Yeah.
So it's great. So there's a lot of different variation between these two. That runs into this Voodoo Labs tremolo pedal, which is just a cool around sounding tremolo pedal. Then I've got the 616 analog delay from Moleko as well. Use that mostly for like slapback, some ethereal stuff, especially like on violin. You know, I can use a lot of ethereal stuff with that. That then runs into the Superpuss from the By Way Huge. That thing is just like an alien. You can do all kinds of different delay sounds with it. You just kind of dial in whatever delay you possibly could ever want.
That's fun.
That then runs into the Pog pedal. Pog pedal I usually use with the violin, you know, to like kind of blend some low stuff in there. Oftentimes some of the stages we play are too small for a cello, so it's just extra stuff I have to set up on
stage. Do you have to compensate in the event that you can't play cello that night? What do you do those parts on violin?
On violin with the Pog pedal.
Oh, badass. You just hit the octave down.
So
that's
it gets
so
the octave
cool.
down. Sometimes I blend a little bit of the dry octave in there as well.
Just
so
to
like,
have a, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just to get a little bit of the violin. So then you almost have like a duet, like playing an octave kind
so
of thing,
cool.
which is cool. And then that jumps into the RV5, the Boss digital reverb. You know, mostly it's just set on like a plate, you know, just kind of real simple.
Is that mostly for strings? Just to have
mostly
it
for strings.
Feel like an
exactly.
orchestral
I really
kind of
don't,
thing.
I rarely use that on guitar. But what I do use a lot on guitar is this Eternal by Mr. Black. That's great too. And between John Skibick and I, we've got a lot of like shimmer verbs that are going on
stage.
Yeah,
sure.
So that's great. And then it goes into another like tuner pedal right here, which also is just a bypass of tone. The way that I have this set up is all of that runs into this volume pedal, which runs to the amp. But basically I've got three places by which
you
to shut off sound.
Off. Yeah.
I can mute sound on the radial. I can mute sound on the tuner. And mute
stop
sound
all the way down.
On
now,
the
deck. Are you using the volume pedal for swells and
for
stuff?
For swells and stuff like that. But I also use it depending upon where I am in the stage, because if you see the show, it's a constant juggling act. Like, I'll often play, you know, three different instruments in the same song. So I've got a constant, if I'm doing something like going from strings to guitar, whatever is the closest muted pedal for me, I hit that if I'm putting down the violin and picking up guitar or something like that. Because if not, if I put that violin right next to the amp, it's gonna
blow up.
Exactly. So disgusting. I just like whatever my closest muting pedal is, I just mute that. Then I like pick up the guitar and unmute it, and we're good to go.
Man, Rick, that's an interesting workaround. Yeah, man. That's very, very cool. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. We're gonna talk to Greg's Tech right now, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. All right, guys, now we're in the middle of the stage. We're here with Larry Palm, who's kind of a legend. You've worked with Jay Maskus, Pearl Jam. I mean, like, the list goes on and on and on. And now you're out with Greg. Yep. And you are cool enough to take us through this stuff, which I'm excited. I've seen Greg playing this Black 335 for the past couple of years. I know in the past he's played, like, tellies and stuff, too. Is this the one, though?
He basically started playing the 335s after Katrina.
Did he lose all of his gear in the flooding or something?
It just happened that the gear that was there happened to be a semi-hollow body, and he's stuck with them ever since.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful guitar.
Yeah.
Has he modified anything to it, or do you keep foaming it to keep it from howling or anything?
Nope.
Just loud and proud, huh?
Stock, yeah.
Just let it rock.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the Lone Star, again, Mesa.
Mesa Boogie, Tim Lawrence at Mesa Boogie hooked us up with all the white cabinets and all the graphics from the current record.
It looks so cool. Yeah. It's almost alarming to see white cabs on stage. I've seen it before, but in this, you know, on an all black stage, you usually see all black cabs. So that is really, really cool. It kind of grabs your eye a lot. And then what's the story on this beautiful guy?
Greg picked that up, I think, in Munich. I can't remember. He's
the
like
jeweled.
He went by a store, he saw it in the window, and he took a photo, and then he just said,
I gotta have it.
I'll be back in 10 minutes. I came back and there it was.
There it was. So what strings is he running?
I was playing GHS Thick and Thins.
Was that like a heavy top, skinny bottom kind of thing? Oh, that's cool. So he can bend but also get the fatness in there. That's awesome. Well, that's a pretty simple setup.
I string him up and use big bends on the nut because helps it stay in tune.
Stay in
a lot.
Tune. Yeah. Sure, it's not grabbing and stuff. Yeah. All right, well, let's talk pedals. Now, Greg is not running a ton of stuff here, just a couple of pedals.
It's really simple. It's the tuner out into the MXR overdrive distortion pedal. We also, depending on the stage and how things go, we'll run the Alexander Royal Cream, which Alexander made for us.
Yeah, I'm really familiar with Matt's pedals, and that's the first one of those I've ever seen. What does that thing do?
There's like 12 of them out there. It's an overdrive distortion pedal.
Very cool. A five knobber, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
And this pedal here, is the red one, is one of Trey's prototype pedals. It's got the chassis from an MXR, but he's regutted it, and you would have to talk to him about it. I don't know a whole lot about that pedal. But Trey's here somewhere. He does lights with us, and he builds pedals as well.
Killer.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then is that a DD6 or a...
What?
The delay up there, that Boss.
Yeah, it's just a Boss delay.
And then what is this foot controller?
Cap tempo.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's pretty really straightforward and simple.
So the MXR you're using for super grit, and then the Archer, what do you got clicking that on just for a... kind of
overdrive.
A little bit of a drive
boost.
Gotcha. Yeah. Man, that's remarkably not complicated. It's pretty
not at all, and
pretty simple setup.
That's what it needs to do.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, no worries.
Looking forward to seeing you guys pull it all together later. It's going to be awesome.
Going to be a good show.
Stay tuned for more rig rundowns.
Thank you.
Lessons, pedal demos, all that stuff. See you guys around soon.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.